No way. No way.
Theo Epstein, GM of the Chicago Cubs. And he is a very, very happy man. One of a couple of people, John Lester, of course, being one of them, that's going to be able to wear a Red Sox World Championship ring on one hand and a Chicago Cubs title ring on the other hand. And you're damn right. And I think that's one of the reasons why Theo Epstein really is a man crush for me, is he is young, relatively speaking, 41, 42 years old. And he does carry himself like a fan who knows a lot about the sport and knows how to build teams, but he's a fan at heart. He is highly superstitious. He has one of his guys eat bread when the Cubs need a rally. There was a wonderful oral history an oral history on Theo Epstein not that long ago. It was Sports Illustrated. I think it was actually for ESPN. And they were hanging out with him and his crew, and he has his guys doing the weirdest stuff. And yes, one of them is he has a guy that eats bread. He makes him eat bread. He'll send somebody to get bread and force the guy to eat it when the Cubs need some offense. So throughout the game,
what in God's name is that supposed to do for their offense?
Well, because once
carbs make them hit better.
No, there was a situation. If
do
I remember,
you even know baseball, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Obviously
Jeez.
Not.
There was a situation where I think the guy was eating just straight bread one time, and the Cubs ended up having a huge inning, and that just became a thing. Where okay, well, you know, it's like it's like their own personal rally cap. So yeah, you know, Theo was on live TV.
I liked Theo a lot more until you told that story.
Listen, if you're going to dislike everyone who is superstitious, you're not going to like anybody in baseball. Because 98%, did you know Wade
Boggs?
Are
you upset with that, Katie?
Yeah, Katie.
Not allowed to like baseball people
Nate,
anymore, sorry.
Nate, are you being condescending? Shocking.
Maybe towards Dave.
Yeah, who's kind of being condescending to me. Wade Boggs used to eat fried chicken before every single game. Every game. Every game he
also used
chicken.
To crush like three cases of Bud Light in the back of the plane.
He absolutely did.
I used to eat a chicken fried steak before every game in high school. Why? Because I liked it, not because I thought it was going to make any difference.
I mean, that was you. You played basketball. These are baseball players.
Stop. Nothing to do at all with routine. Like it was just because you liked it. It wasn't routine at all.
No, it wasn't routine. It was like I get on kicks where I like something and I'll just eat it for quite a while until I get tired of it.
I mean, that's cool. Like you just accidentally stumbled into a chicken fried steak before every game in high school. I get it.
Well, like on the road and then like at home, like I'd make mac and cheese because everybody likes that.
Where would you get the chicken fried steaks?
Black Bear Diner.
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah, we would travel when we were on the road. Yeah, Nate, you're right. It would be something like that. Yeah. Black Bear Diner.
It's just a strange pregame meal.
Chicken fried steak. I used to always get the Philly cheesesteak from Black Bear.
Greasy and weird. Here's,
you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, I could eat a hamburger right before we ran out on the floor. And I literally have done that before. I ate a hamburger right before we ran out on the court for the game. And you can do those kinds of things when you're young.
It is 7:10, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. David Ross played in his final game last night. And at one point, Anthony Rizzo came up to him and said, and I quote, "I'm a glass case of emotion," stealing the line from Will Ferrell in Anchorman, and David Ross tried to calm him down. It's so great because isn't that all of us? Aren't we all just trashed and slurring?
Here's Theo. He's the boss.
Right?
Jeez.
He's just,
just imagine, 108 years, just imagine if the Cubs, rather than adopting a lovable loser mentality, had actually cared about winning baseball games prior to 2012.
Yeah, see, come on. Don't we think they did? Do we forget Steve Bartman? Do we forget Moises Alou and our very own Derek Lee?
But we're the Cubs.
Of course they wanted to win.
Play a violin for us.
They were losers.
Nate.
The losers of all losers. And yeah, I believe they were cursed. There's some sort of weird
Do
curse.
Do you really?
Yes.
Good Lord, Dave.
Of course I do.
You are an intelligent man.
Yes.
You're grown. I think What's wrong with you?
I think there was some sort of black magic hex put on them that put a spell like in Harry Potter? No, I
you
do
know,
not.
Do you probably really are trying to figure out what curse is on the kings.
Yes.
You really are, aren't you?
Katie, I think we all on some level believe in curses. Hey, Katie, when you fly out tomorrow, if I say to you on the phone, I go, hope you don't crash, are you going to laugh at that?
Yeah.
No, you're not, because you don't
say stuff like that. Is terrified of planes like you are.
What are you talking about?
We would both laugh at that if you said that.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I think most people wouldn't. They'd be like, dude, why would you say that?
My response would be, you know what? Hey, I'm media, so I sit in the back. I'll probably be the one that survives.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Fourth Down Territory is next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Greg Papa on the call there, one of Amari Cooper's many catches in the Raiders' win last weekend. This weekend's Denver Raiders game is absolutely huge. A win solidifies the Raiders as contenders. What does a loss tell you guys?
Yeah, and see, I think this is an important question because I'm starting to see this shape up in Raider Nation. I understand the self-preservation, but it's like, well, listen, if they lose, it doesn't mean that they're horrible. Like, if they lose it, they lost to the defending world champions. But we all know if they beat Denver, everyone's going to go crazy. And now I think there's going to be some legit Super Bowl talk. So you have to put, if they lose at home to Denver, what that will tell me is the Raiders still have a lot to prove and they can't beat good teams. That's what it will tell me until further notice.
Okay, well, I missed the question. I don't think I was potted up, but I'm assuming what you said, but
Katie, okay. The question was
let's,
this weekend.
Let's try and
Denver,
recover from this.
Denver Raiders game is huge. A win,
yeah.
A win will solidify them as contenders. But what will a loss tell you?
A loss will tell me that they're probably more likely a wild card team than they are a lock for the playoffs.
Loss tells me a lot less. Wait, what?
I know.
I think right now, the way they're playing, it's like, okay, this team is going to be in the playoffs.
Sure.
If they lose against Denver, it just makes you question whether or not they're going to be able to pull it off and might have to play their way in.
And make some noise.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Nate? Yeah. I think a loss would tell me more about the Broncos than it would about the Raiders. And that's just that the Broncos are still the big dog in that division. I mean, it would be a tough loss for the Raiders because you want it really badly, but Denver, I think, is still the top dog, and if the Raiders are to lose close, it's not that much of a crisis.
So the way they lose, if they lose, is going to tell you some of that story. Mm-hmm. No, that's very fair.
That was the last touchdown that the 49ers scored, which came in the second quarter of their game all of 2 weeks ago. The Niners are back from their bye week. Give me one reason, if any, to care about the rest of the season.
Oh, my God. I think the only reason I can think of right now is maybe if you're a Christian Ponder fan and you want to see that if he's going to play again at all. I mean,
Dave,
there's nothing exciting about this team.
I'll tell you, I got something for you. The rest of this year is going to tell us if Bradley Pinion was worth a fifth-round pick in the draft. We're going to find out if that was worth it or not.
The only thing I can come up with is this. Let me rephrase the question, and the question is going to kind of be my answer. You're passing by on the road a massive car crash.
Give me
one reason why you would crane your neck to the left and look instead of just keeping your speed and traveling. And that's really how I look at the rest of the Niners season. It's a giant car crash, and all we're really doing is rubbernecking to see how bad it is. It's a bad thing to do. Nobody wants to admit it, but that's why you watch the Niners.
I guess there is a school of thought that says maybe you want them to just continue to lose.
Yes.
If you want to see that happen, because maybe they're going to make a change and fire Trimbelke.
There's one. As a Niner fan, I do not want – I will be pissed off if they win another game this year. I will legitimately be angry if they win a game this year. There's no reason to do it. Tank city. And the one sport we're really tanking works, NFL football.
That's the Minnesota Vikings radio network. North Turner has resigned from the Vikings. This looks really bad, But could this be good for Minnesota?
No, no, it is absolutely really bad. This appeared to take Mike Zimmer by surprise. Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy. The reason he has Norv Turner in there is because if there was a Hall of Fame strictly for coordinators, Norv Turner would be in it. It's Norv Turner, Wade Phillips. Those guys right there are the two dudes. They're never going to make it as a head coach. But if you want a coordinator, Norv Turner ran that whole ship, man, and things weren't going particularly well, but it's going to go a lot worse without him.
You could argue that Norv Turner's done yeoman's work in the sense that you're missing Adrian Peterson. Stephon Diggs has developed tremendously, and they've actually turned Sam Bradford into a guy that is at least a functional NFL quarterback. Thank you. The Jaguars, Texans, Giants, Ravens, Seahawks, Bears, and Rams are the only teams in the NFL that have put up less points than the Minnesota Vikings. So it's not like it was going well. The thing with Norv Turner is this. Fast forward 2 years. And he'll be the offensive coordinator for some NCAA football champion. You can almost take that absolutely to the bank. That's, to me, where Norv Turner belongs, Katie, is in college football. Not that he hasn't had success in the NFL. He certainly, we've learned this, Washington Redskins fans, he's not an NFL head coach.
Well, that's the question is, you know, it looks bad, but could it be good for the Vikings? Well, I'll take it a step further and say I don't care. He decided to leave. He resigned. So could this be better for Norv? Actually, from what you said, Dave, I kind of agree with you. Like, college is a much more stable environment. You can make a bigger impact over a period of time putting in your system. Yeah, it's probably better for Norv. I don't think it'll affect the Vikings too much, though.
I guess rephrasing the question is, could it get worse for the Vikings?
It's only going to get worse for the Vikings.
Yeah. All right.
Really?
Dean Blandino, I love that name, says he's considering more full-time NFL officials. What's the next thing you would do if you were the director of officiating?
Dean Blandino is so greasy. Did you see, it was about a week ago, I think, during the games. I forget what the catch was, but it was a questionable catch. And Dean tweeted out, hashtag Dez caught it. That's coming from the director of officiating that happened. He's just such a greaseball. What would I do? I like that direction. That's fine. I don't care if it's from pressure on the outside. Yeah, get full-time NFL officials. What I would do is something I've always had a problem with, and that's with the replay system. I would give coaches unlimited challenges if they get their challenges right. I would keep the amount wrong the same, and you lose your timeouts and you lose your challenges. I don't believe if a coach challenges a play and gets it right that it should cost him a challenge. I think that's the dumbest freaking rule in all of sports. If you challenge a play and you get it right, you can do it 1,000 times. Who cares? You're getting them right.
How long do you want these games to go?
Yeah, see, and that's always the response people give me. And the question there, the answer there is tell the referees to ref the game right. If I'm a coach and a referee screws up a play and I have to challenge it and I'm right, why the hell should I be penalized a challenge at all?
So I don't want to steal what Nate is going to say. I think I know, but the reason why I'm going to say it is because Nate's going to be right about saying it. Yes, you need more full-time officials, but it has to do with your rule book. You need to make changes in your rule book. There's too much crap that these officials have to call, and a lot of it is nonsense.
You're absolutely right. It's full-time officials, and just I'll take your idea one step further, Dave. Why is it that if we're going to embrace replay full-time, why should the coaches have to challenge it in the first place? I mean, isn't the whole idea of replay that every team is entitled to the correct call, right? So why are you only entitled to the correct call if your coaching staff notices that it was screwed up?
It's just stupid. It's just stupid and backwards and dumb. And again, I also think there should be an extra foul given in overtime.
Get rid of replay.
That's the point I've gotten to now, where I would just rather eat it with whatever the referees screw up.
You say
just
that.
Well, I know.
You say that.
I know, but at least it would be fair for both sides.
We'll take a break.
Yes.
When we come back. When we come back, King's Magic, we'll get into that. We're talking Chicago. You're out of here. Samsonite. That's old Ace Ventura one. Charles Davis is going to join us at 8:05. We'll get into a little football there. The Cubs are the theme throughout the day, but the Kings do play the Magic this evening. Are you going to panic tonight at a loss? Hey, by the way, there is a new Sacramento King. King signed somebody yesterday. Might surprise you. We'll tell you who it is next. Worst tease ever right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Watch your silver and black with Sports 1140 this Sunday. Starting at 5:30, Buffalo Wild Wings, 1168 Galleria Boulevard in Roseville. At halftime, the street team will be giving away tickets to see Bon Jovi at the Golden One Center. For more info, khtk.com. Charles Davis coming up at 8:05. We still have an opportunity for you to win an Apple TV and qualify for Monday's drawing for a 65-inch 4K TV, courtesy of the Home Theater Company. We'll get into the Kings and Magic in just a second. Dean, you're on KHTK. Hello, Dean.
David.
Dino.
Hey, dog.
Dean.
Bad sleep, Katie.
Yep.
Hey, you were talking a little Raiders before I get to the baseball. The Raiders, I'll say it here and say it loud, they're obviously having a good year, but they cannot get behind against the Broncos early. And given the fact that they seem to be falling behind, and even though they've had some really good wins this year, you can't get behind against that defense because Carr will be running for his life. So hopefully they can run the ball. And as far as the baseball goes, you know, it was a fantastic baseball game. Everything you could possibly want about baseball was in that game. I will say this, Joe Maddon is the luckiest manager on the face of this earth. I thought he almost managed himself out of the game three times.
Yeah, he did, Dean. We talked about that earlier. Joe Maddon, and give credit where credit is due. You can't rip a guy and his life's work because he had a couple of bad games. But we're talking about the use of Chapman. We're talking about him pulling Kyle Hendricks for John Lester and bringing in John Lester with a man on. We haven't even mentioned him having Baez bunt with two strikes.
Yeah.
Joe Maddon did everything he could to manage the Cubs out of a World Series in those last two games.
Well, the Baez thing was huge. I couldn't believe that. I mean, here's a guy, he's a contact hitter, and he's a terrible bunter, and the infield's in. But, no, I'm not dogging Joe Maddon. Both pitching staffs on both teams were gassed. The fact that he used Chapman the night before when they had that huge lead, they didn't need to use him the night before. They could have rested him, but it was just a terrific ball game. I mean, I'm happy for the Cubs, but you know, I got my 2010 Giants National League Championship hat on today. Hopefully the Giants will turn it around in 2017, but it was a terrific ball game. That's all I wanted to say. And the Raiders, big game this weekend. If they lose, it just means they lost the game. I mean, I don't even know what their record was last year. I don't think it was that great. And obviously they're turning things around, but it's too early a loss to Denver obviously is a big deal at home, but there's still so much football left. They just can't fall behind at home this weekend.
No, that would you don't want to try to come back against that Denver defense. That's for sure. I want to remind you, Four Down Territory brought to you by our good friends over at Jersey Mike's, who enjoyed their grand opening. From all accounts, a huge success. That's Watt Avenue, Arden Town Center. Now, you can still mention KHDK and get a free sub at that Watt Avenue location or even the Fulton Avenue location as well in Town and Country Village. Just a $2 donation or more, if you can, to St. John's program benefiting women in need and their kids, and that goes all the way until November 6th. Jerry's on KHDK. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I haven't talked to you guys in a long time, but Dave, I want to thank you first off for everything that you did in helping keeping the Kings here. I think that you and Grant are definitely a big reason why those guys are still here at your radio station and all of that, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Jerry.
Just get on to the Kings and the Cubs. The difference between the Cubs and, like, the Kings would be Theo Epstein is a big, big reason, and I think it all starts from the top. And I like Vladdy and all, but, you know, don't know if he's ever going to be able to get it done. And I just think that DeMarcus is our Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, if the 49ers are a freaking car wreck, then Kings must be a pandemic or something. I don't know. But I will still be going to those games. And thanks again for everything, Dave. And was rooting for Cleveland last night, but still kind of happy for Chicago.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Nate.
I think that's a very important point that's brought up by Jerry there, that in lieu of the Cubs breaking their 108-year World Series drought, I think now is the perfect time for us to reflect upon why the teams we root for are so far away.
I know. And it's tough because I'm a Giants fan.
That was so funny. He's just like, oh, man, the Cubs were great. And, yeah, you know, the Kings, they could really use a Theo Epstein.
Yes.
And the Niners are just a dumpster fire. And
I have gotten no less than 100 tweets since last night asking some sort of riff on could Theo Epstein possibly do basketball?
No.
I swear. Oh. Nate, I'll show you. In fact, Nate, I will. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just retweet 5 random ones at the next break.
And how do you even stay logged into that website when you have stuff like that?
Dude, I'm telling you. And, yeah, some of them are tongue-in-cheek. But I think teams like – I guarantee you Lions fans are having the same conversation. It's tough because, again, the two teams that are have the higher drought, the longer droughts, the Cardinals, and now, of course, the Indians. We mentioned this before. At least the Indians were a couple outs away from a World Series victory. The Arizona Cardinals have a great team and are a playoff caliber team with a ton of talent. And then you go down that list, and then
lost to Carolina, who that was just their second win of the season. I see what you're saying. I also like being close in football. It's. They're not close, you know,
no.
They're not. I mean, they're better than they were over the past several years, especially, but
who are we talking about? The Kings?
It's gotta be the Raiders, right?
No, the Cardinals.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Like you're talking about the Cardinals and it's like, oh yeah, like they're so close to it. No, they're not. They're worse this year. Like, are they even going to be a playoff team this year?
I mean, I think that's a good point too, Katie. Like, even if the Cardinals make the playoffs, how close are they really to being a Super Bowl winning team?
They're closer than the Kings.
Yes,
that's my point.
Yeah, but Dave, look at it this way.
Closer.
Larry Fitzgerald is almost done. How much time does he have left? Can Carson Palmer do it? So, yeah, it's like they're closer because they're there. They're in the playoffs, but they're not going to win. So what's going to happen when they're gone? They're going to be back to rebuilding.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Wouldn't you say of that list? Let's keep the Cubs there on that list. You got the Cubs, the Indians, the Cardinals, Kings, and Lions.
And the Lions.
Okay, the Loins of Detroit.
Yeah.
What is the common thread with those? I would say of all of those, the only franchise that has actually had bad luck and not just been like historically and comically inept would be Cleveland, because they had a stretch in the 90s where they were the dominant team in the American League.
The Carlos Baerga teams.
Yeah, and they just, I mean, they couldn't get it done. That, to me, is more bad luck than, like, one random fan picking a foul ball out of Moises Alou's glove and then them still gagging it away. Other than that, like, all of those teams, the Cardinals were constantly a punchline until Kurt Warner showed up a few years ago. And then, when you know, even after that, they were bad again. The Lions, for crying out loud, dude, like they haven't even tried for the last, I don't know, since 57 when they won their title. And I mean, the Kings, history speaks for itself.
We don't think the Kings have had bad luck.
Well, I'm saying it's
bad. You want to go back to 2002.
No, I'm going back.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm going beyond that.
Just as much as it takes good fortune to win a title, yes, there's some bad luck in there. But there is a common thread with those teams, and it's not bad luck.
People were trying to talk about, you know, we were asking throughout the day what would be the Kings' curse. And you know, you had everything from DeMarcus Cousins is a curse to the Kings were ripped from Kansas City. That's a curse, too.
That's the one I think I like the most.
Purvis
the
Ellison.
Small market crime one.
Right. And my thing
small
is
market crime.
The Kings were bad as a franchise long before they came to Sacramento. They were bad in Kansas City. They were bad in Omaha. They were bad. They've been pretty much bad off and on.
Should have never left Rochester.
Seriously,
I was
going to
say, since the Seagram 7, whatever it is.
So I don't. I mean, and I don't want to get too morbid here, but let's go through a couple of those things. Let's go back to Purvis Ellison going number one, and we obviously don't even need to talk about Robert Ori and Game 6 and all that stuff. You had a Kings player. End his life.
Do you want to talk about?
You had Bobby Hurley and that horrific accident. I mean, less serious. We had our coach pass out on the sideline. Like this team has just been.
Roof leaked. Oh.
The roof leaked and the owner climbed
out. Oh,
I mean,
my God.
That actually turned into almost a Braveheart story there. I mean, that's one of my favorite Greg Luckenbill stories. But I just, I don't know, man. Like, Everyone has their own. You know, I'm sure Detroit Lions fans would be like, ha, ha, ha. Let me tell you here, little tiny, funny Kings fans. Let me tell you about bad luck. I get that, but
hey, geez. Yeah, I mean, did you ever have a crappy football team and lose your entire industry?
Right, yes. That's very true. I mean, it's one of the few cities where we can actually look at the scoreboard. You know, you're still living in Detroit. Ha-ha.
May have not won a title, but you know, our downtown isn't crumbling from the inside.
Mitch, you're on KHDK. Hey, Mitch.
Come on, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Some game, you know, I wish they had started this game a little earlier. Instead of moving the basketball game, which usually 2.5 hours at most, maybe it'll be an overtime, would it make sense to move the baseball game up a little earlier, at least for the East Coast guys?
Well, that's the thing. And Mitch is in New Jersey calling us. Well, Mitch, I really feel for you. And last night, whatever it was, 10 o'clock, 10:15, one last pitch was, that's 1 o'clock, 1:15 on a school night on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I totally feel for you, but here's the problem.
I was right there with you, Mitch.
Sure, but what's the alternative?
I wish you were with me too, Kate. I'm just kidding.
Well, right? The alternative is that Obama does his freaking job and makes sure that the World Series happens during the day and that nobody has to work.
That's the thing. Well, you're right. I'd love it to be a holiday. That'd be freaking fantastic. But what are you going to do, Mitch?
1 o'clock, first pitch, local time, every time.
The game started at 5, and on the West Coast, you had a lot of people that were just getting into their cars, driving home, you know, much less being able to sit down for first pitch. So it's one of those things where they want to make sure that they have maximum viewership. So you kind of have to straddle the line there. And unfortunately, sometimes the East Coasters get screwed.
So here's the question.
I'm sorry.
Here's the question. If you could make one finals or one, you know, like game 7 of the World Series, the Super Bowl, like whatever it is, if you could make one sports championship game a national holiday, which one would it be?
I would say last game of the World Series.
Okay.
See, and for me, I think it's a very easy answer to me, and I don't think I would make any game a holiday. What I would do is I would make the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday a holiday. Mm-hmm. I think that's a no-brainer. Whatever, you know, all these presidential candidates, as we're days away from the election, you know, they're like, oh, the economy, the defense, banks, and hunger.
Right.
No, just come out and say, if I'm elected president, the day after the Super Bowl is going to be a freaking national holiday, and none of you have to work. Boom, instant president.
Done. It's over. I mean, geez, Dave, they're both all lying to us anyway, so tell us a lie we want to hear.
Yeah, thank you.
And America.
Again, not to spin off on politics here, but just a real quick aside, we got the TVs on in front of us. I was telling Nate during the last break, Katie, There was a statement from President Obama on the screen endorsing some guy who's running for mayor of Stockton.
Do you think it's the guy that got caught hanging out with teens and buying them booze?
My guess is no. I don't think so, but that was like the most random thing I've seen all day. Why do you care about all that? He's probably happy, by the way, speaking of Obama being a Chicago guy. Here's the thing. We know you know what? I believe he's a White Sox fan, actually. Mm-hmm. I correct myself. Chicago teams.
You.
Chicago teams between 1908 and now, when the Cubs won the World Series, they have won 30 championships in major sports.
Yes.
Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Blackhawks, they have won 30 freaking titles.
I mean, that's the other part. Like, does anyone really feel for Chicago? You got the best basketball player of all time and 6 rings to go with it. All right.
Yeah, you do. I don't cry for Chicago. and this would be a lot worse right now, Katie. This whole thing as a sports fan, I'd feel really bad for Cleveland had the Warriors beat them last year.
Would you, Dave?
Yes, because you'd still have the title drought. It's very difficult for me to feel completely bad for Cleveland because they're still coming off the Cavaliers high. They still have the best player in the NBA, and they still have the best team, at least right now, in the NBA. But had they lost? Yes. You're looking at an 0-16 probably Browns team. And both your teams just lost in the finals and World Series. That'd be like the biggest heartbreak ever.
Could you? I mean, I know the number one thing for you is the Kings winning a title,
yes.
Right? But I mean, has it always been that way to where like that? Because I'm trying to think.
Since '85.
Because I mean, if like that would be huge. But I'm trying to think of the city of Cleveland. I feel like a World Series is like slightly more meaningful than winning the NBA Finals. Like when the Giants won the World Series, I was calling my grandparents and said, my grandparents aren't Kings fans. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't quite the same. And I know like my family is not representative of every family.
Sure.
But when that happened, that's when you get the whole, you know, like I've got people in my family that have been rooting for this team their whole lives and never seen this, blah, blah, blah. And I guess the same would apply for the Kings, but I wouldn't call my grandparents right away, and no. I wouldn't be grabbing
them.
Wait,
hold on. You wouldn't call your grandparents if the Kings won the title?
No.
See, here's the difference.
They don't care. I would talk to my dad.
Here's the difference for me. When the Giants won the World Series, I shed a tear. I hugged my friends, and it was amazing. When the Sacramento Kings win a world championship, I'm going to get the ring tattooed on my face.
The other part is, too, is, like, basketball does have more significance for me. But I'm also not, like, I went out and I went to the parade, which I would do for the Kings. But I went to the parade in 2010, and I grabbed, like, a dozen copies of that day's Chronicle. And I handed them out to everybody I knew. I would get, like, three of them, one for my
really?
Dad and one for my brother. I
really?
Think it was the B. Yeah, but that's just, like, my all-encompassing
I get it.
Family thing.
I just, it's foreign to me, Katie, because for me, as much as I love the Giants and as much as I love the Niners and as much as I love Florida State football, which is a little bit different for me because of my parents, but the Kings, it's not, you could take Niners and Giants championships and combine, if I had a choice. And I'm being dead serious here. If I had a choice between the Sacramento Kings winning the NBA Finals next year and the Giants and 49ers both winning championships 10 years in a row, and if the Kings won the title next year, they would go 0-82 for the next 10 years. It wouldn't even be a decision in my head that I would spend more than a second on. I would take the – because here's the thing. It's not just sports. I'm a huge Kings fan.
Okay.
But I'm a bigger fan of the city.
Okay.
And we borrow.
But don't more people care?
Maybe.
About a World Series title?
I've got a couple questions for you, Dave, because I like playing this what if with you.
Sure.
Because it's just fun to watch your brain explode in front of me.
Uh-huh.
The first one.
I wouldn't give up a kid. Sorry.
No, first one is a little bit easier. If you could see the Kings win an NBA title or the Florida State Seminoles win a national championship, which one would you want?
Kings, without a doubt. I've seen Florida State win,
so,
too.
If you could guarantee that the Kings would win an NBA title,
yes,
as long as it meant the Los Angeles Lakers were going to win 10 more, which one would you rather see? If they never won a title again,
sure,
or never won ever, as long as the Lakers never won again, I mean, which one would you take? 1 for 10 or 0 for 0?
1 for 10. 1 for 10. 1 for 10 in a heartbeat. Yeah, I don't care. I hate the Lakers, but 1 for 10 because I get that one.
I get that one.
And I get to wear all the memorabilia, and I get to get go buy one of those fake rings, and I get
even if that means Lakers fans forever will be like, yeah, like 1-17 or whatever.
I'm not going to predicate
your Pacific Division title banners.
I can only predicate my happiness and sadness so much on what other people do, and I would be comforted by the fact, like, right now you can only come back so much before the Lakers pull out their championship leather schmedium jackets, but I would be comforted by the fact that 98% of all Laker fans are tiny brains that really, let's be honest,
for their last title.
Thank you very much. I mean, we're talking about Laker fans. Some of the, as a fan base, one of the worst fan bases in all of sports history. And I'm comforted by that.
Isn't it unique, though, like the different range of feelings that you get out of, depending on what sport it is, right? And it's a little bit more difficult with the Kings because it's been so long since they sniffed any sort of glory. But, I mean, if you think, like, your team wins the Super Bowl, you remember when the Niners were good and they were right, and you feel like when you're the best at that sport, like, that represents how big and tough and strong you are. You're just more brutal and more physical. You're more of a man, mm-hmm. right? If you're at the top of the football world. And when it's baseball, it's like there's...
You're the smartest.
Right, like it's like you're the scrappiest, you're the grittiest, you're the most resilient. And in basketball, I mean, what is it? Like, you're the most disciplined, you're the most professional. Like, it's just, it's so different, the broad range of things. And I think there's just...
You're right.
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's the way that those sports are composed or something. I guess that my point is that's just the glory of sports. Like, a title is not a title's not just a title. It's different for every sport.
I think right. I can get with you on this, and it's tough to imagine, but now if a football team and a baseball team came with the Kings in 1985 and Sacramento had three.
Yeah, let's play that one
okay, out. Okay, because now we're talking apples to apples. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, and I'm not trying to Katie this one here, but I, honestly, I don't know.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, I'm either going to twist the question or not make a firm commitment to one or the other answer. I'm going to spread my answer over three different options.
So you're going
to
say you're going to be indecisive, and that's being a Katie.
Yes, exactly. I don't, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. All I've known is the Kings. But for me, the Kings are the only opportunity Sacramento has to win a national championship. Yeah. We don't have yes, I love it when the Niners won their Super Bowls. I loved it when the Giants won their titles. But that's San Francisco. That's not us. And you kind of know that deep down inside. We're borrowing other cities' teams and enjoying them. And that's fine because we don't have another choice.
Well, I mean, I'm doing that with all my teams, technically.
Even the Kings, though?
Well,
you live here.
I mean, but I'm not from Sacramento.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, but you're here, damn it.
I'm here. I'm yours.
You're a Sacramentan, Nate.
That's right.
We'll take a break. When we get back, Charles Javis. it's his new name. Charles Davis will join us at 8:05. I'll get his name right, and we will talk to him. Hey, guys, by the way, I haven't even mentioned it yet. 2:30 in the morning last night. That's when I crashed out.
Nice.
2:30 in the freaking morning. I was watching everything. Charles will join us. We'll talk football. I have a feeling we'll talk a little baseball, too. The Cubs win the World Series, and we're going to try to get Greg Vaughn on with us. Almost called him Rick at 8:30 as well.
Oh, my goodness. You're struggling.
A little bit. Whew. We'll take a break. Sports 1140 KHDK.